¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Although today it's Darren and Chase.
Yeah, it is.
Don't forget, Smashville Live is tonight. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. That's located at 1003 Russell Street, 1003 Russell Street. That's from 7 until 8 o'clock. Tonight's guest will be former Predator J.P. Dumont. First 50 people have the opportunity to get an autograph and a picture. Fans can also register to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Also, Nash and the Energy team will be there as well. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Speaking of New Amsterdam Vodka, as we unveiled yesterday, Chase, on the program, we are very excited here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Elliot Friedman,
yeah,
a weekly every Thursday, and that starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thursdays at 1, Elliot Friedman on this show every week talking Preds and hockey with us. And then following the interview every Thursday, we will have a question for you that you would have had to have been listening to the interview to answer. And we're going to give away Predators tickets. So you'll have to be listening
huge
afterwards for the question to see if you can answer something from the interview, and you could win Preds tickets. We say hello to Chris Mason, who did a fantastic job with Willie Donick in the booth last night in Vegas. They made through it. They played a game, them and Skillsy, that they showed during one of the intermissions where I guess Willie was the dealer and C-Mace and Skillsy were answering the questions. And it was a fun game. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're just hanging out at the hotel. I was actually just with William Skillsy and Bob, and I spoke away to talk to you fine gentlemen.
Well, thanks for doing that, as always. And, of course, Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So what do you make of Elliot Friedman in your time slot? You're on Wednesdays at 1. Elliot Friedman is our Thursdays at 1. How about that?
Wow, that's a great, great addition, weekly addition there. You're going to get some good stuff. He's one of the best in the business, no question. So that's I'll be listening in at 1, trying to win those Preds tickets.
Yeah, you need those.
We appreciate
that. It's hard for you to get in the building.
Yeah, it is sometimes.
Philip Forsberg, 5 goals already. And, of course, he had the final goal in the second period. Didn't play much in the third period, so I guess now we all hold our breath to make sure everything is okay on that front, because this is the start that we all envision. This offense is obviously clicking at a high rate. They've scored 28 goals already, Chris, which is tied with Toronto for the most goals in the league. They're the best third period team in the league, and it's not even close. 16 goals in the third period. I think second best team is like 10 or 11. That's how good they've been in the third. What do you make of the start thus far, especially offensively with this team?
Well, I mean, offensively, I think it's the best you could hope for, and you would have, projected an uptick with, Matt Duchene coming in, Mikael Granlund, getting acclimated from last year and starting training camp with the team. And then, you look for, which it has been a little bit of a rebound for Kyle Turris. I think he's been really good. Looks like a different player. He's making an impact there, getting chances, scoring goals. Just the contributions are it's great. It's up and down the lineup, and they really seem to be doing a good job generating a lot of scoring chances. They scored 5 last night, and if it wasn't for Marc-Andre Fleury at certain points, I think they could have got more. So it's in terms of the way they're playing offensively, it's great. Power play as well, as they're chipping in every single game. Defensively, even, you know, they can clean it up a little bit. I thought they did a better job last night against a really, really good team in Vegas. That, you know, they're going to get, you know, a lot of chances on their own. Pekka was awesome, but I think last night was a real good statement game, especially with that follow up from LA. It looks like they continued off to play the way they did in the third period in LA. So, good game, good start all around.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they tried a lot of different combinations with Johansson and Arvidsson in preseason and in camp, and they settled on Kalle Järnkrok up there on that line. Why has that worked so well right now with Kalle up there?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about it a bit on the broadcast, but, you know, Kalle the last couple of years, such a well-rounded player, you know, and I think he's been playing a lot with a defensive mindset the last couple of years on a shutdown line. You know, if you get some offense, great. If not, that's okay. Just be responsible out there. And Peter Laviolette challenged him to, you know, to think a little more offensively. You know, you're playing with some players that are expected to score in Johansson and Arvidsson. You have that skill set. So just change your mindset. Try some things. And it seems it's just been working out fantastic. He really compliments those guys. And when you have a guy like Kalle Järnkrok on your line as well for Arvidsson and Johansson, a little more freedom for those guys to take some opportunities. And if he can, you know, follow it in and time it right and get involved like he did last night, big goal and a great play by Arvidsson getting on the puck, but he was ready to go. He's had that stick cocked up and he's ready to blast that thing, and he's made some good plays. So it just seems like one of those things where you try something and it works out. So far I think they've looked really good in terms of especially complementing the way that the Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund line had been playing. So that 1-2 punch is for real, and so far Kalle's fit in very nicely.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of this team, what stands out to me, something Chase and I were talking about earlier, Chris, it's not even really about the 1-2 punch, which, you know, that's essentially over the course of a season, that's what you're talking about, right? Those, just the waves. Right now it's the 1-2-3-4 punch, which is nice, right? When you're getting production up and down the roster, that's what sticks out to me, and we were discussing earlier, like the depth of this team seems to be a lot better than last year's team. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, however you want to call the lines, but if you call your fourth line Turris, Smith, and Grimaldi, I mean, try to find another fourth line in the league that can match that, or if you want to flop that, Bonino, Sissons, Watson, Smith moved up with Sissons and Bonino. I mean, you've got potential to produce no matter who's on the ice. I know certain guys are out there, they're trying to shut down, but if you can play in the offensive zone, you've got guys with the skill set and ability to put the puck in the net every time you're on the ice. So I think what it does is you get to exploit other teams' lines and lack of depth maybe in certain situations, because no matter who you have on the ice, I think Peter Laviolette, they've shown so far, you know, they have the capability to put the puck in the net, and that's a luxury that a lot of teams don't have. And then, you know, you go to the back end as well, and you still, yeah, you lost Subban. You still got three studs that can do some damage offensively. And then, you know, Dante Fabbro, you know, his best offensive time in the NHL is yet to come, but you can see he's got that poise and ability as well. So I really, you know, I'm hard-pressed to find a team that has more depth than the Nashville Predators. I know there's some teams with, I would say, have more, you know, high-end scoring in terms of, you know, the Colorado line, McDavid, and those type of players. But top to bottom, I don't know if there's a roster that's as deep as the Predators when they're healthy.
The good news is during the action, my mic is off, and Pete and Hal get to do all the talking. You and Willie, you know, your mics are hot too. Because sometimes during games, like last night, I went, please tell Roman don't ever drop the mitts again. Like, the captain doesn't need to be fighting. I screamed that out, and luckily my mic was off.
I almost said it on the air. I'm like, don't drop, like, or someone at, like, Pax Grabios or,
right,
you know, something.
Right, somebody
like that,
get him out of that. Get him out of that,
yeah,
situation.
And, you know, not that he did a good job, actually. Mark Stone's a big man, too. That's why I was,
right,
you know, that's another reason. But, you know, Yosung in there. But, again, I'm the same as you. You never want to see him get in that situation. But he did. He came out okay on the other side of it. But I'm right with you. I almost did, because that's exactly what I was thinking. But he hung in there and he did pretty good.
Yeah,
Chris Mason here with us, Predators TV analyst, driven by Freeland Chevrolet on Darren Donick and Chase. You know, let's do a little scouting. You saw Vegas last night. I'm curious of what they'll be long-term. I know the score was 5-2, but what did you see out of the Golden Knights?
I honestly, I don't think that was a 5-2 hockey game. I thought it was the fastest game I've seen all year, and they're typically such a well-structured team defensively. I just think the Preds played so fast and aggressive. They're just moving. They're moving the coverages around. I think when you can get in zone, and you know, it sounds cliche. I think every hockey player says, oh, you know, you just got to get pucks in deep behind their defenseman. But Vegas is a team that plays so structured in the neutral zone. They make it really tough to carry the puck through and get offense on the rush. So that when you do get it behind the defenseman, it gets them turned, gets everybody trying to go back to your position. If you can get in and establish a good forecheck and get possession back, you can have some success against a team like that. And the Predators really did a good job of that last night, because in previous years, I think they've tried to skate through, pass through the neutral zone, and it hasn't worked out too good for them. But last night was a different story. But having said that, I wasn't completely sold on Vegas. I know a lot of people were high on them at the beginning of the year, and I wasn't necessarily that high. But after watching them, even though they lost 5-2, you can see the type of team they are and the way they play, and the addition of, you know, Stone, Stastny's healthy, Pacioretty, and they're missing a couple guys, Tuck and someone else too, I can't remember right now, but I think they're legit. I think they're gonna win that division.
I agree with you, by the way. I think they're a scary team. I mean, yeah, that roster alone, just looking at it, it's like, whoa. I mean, then you throw in a little 20-year-old, you know, first round pick. Cody, was it Cody Glass?
Yep.
I mean, my goodness,
he looked good too. Yeah, he looked really good.
I know we're six games in, but I think I speak for everyone here. We feel a little better about the power play than we did last year. It seems to be moving a lot better. But how important was it for that second unit led by Turris and Bonino to go out there and score against the best penalty kill in hockey right now?
Well, exactly. And I thought they could have had more. They got robbed by Fleury three times in a row, point blank. You know, they were creating chances. And I actually saw Bonino in the lobby this morning before he was headed over to practice, and he said it was nice for them. Same thing. They got a little extra time on the power play yesterday. They were moving it around, and you know, they scored a big goal, and it's huge. It is huge, because you know, again, same thing. When you have two units like that can go out and you feel confident in both, it doesn't matter who's starting, and you feel good about where your personnel is in terms of, you know, you don't have to make changes on the second unit to get them going. But that was a big game for that unit and the power play in general, because it takes a little pressure off of that top unit. Because when that pressure comes, that's when, you know, things start to go south a little bit. But I just think when you have two units, then that creates competition. All right, well, who's scoring? Who's going to be that first unit out there? You know, I know that the other one will probably start the majority of the time, but if you got that second unit going, got decisions to make, and those are good ones to have to make.
Through six games, Pecorine has started four of those, a 2.75 GAA, but UC Saros hasn't had a lot of time yet, only a couple games. It hasn't been the UC Saros that we've seen here the past couple years. You just kind of chalk that up. It's early. He hadn't had a lot of time. Or what are you seeing out of Saros?
Yeah, obviously it's not, you know, the best we've seen from him, but it's two games. It was like the guys did not give him last game. The first two periods were not very good at all. So I just think there's just not a big enough sample size. Like, it's tough. Like, I love everything in Preds land right now, and I'm sure we all do. There's a few things that we got to clean up defensively is one of the bigger issues. But, you know, until the season settles in, you know, there's some undefeated teams. Edmonton's off to a great start. Buffalo's off to a great start. I don't know if those teams will even make playoffs. You know, it's so early right now. But he's going to be fine. You know, two games, I'm not worried one bit.
First chance to see the Arizona Coyotes with Phil Kessel in their lineup. What are you expecting tomorrow night?
Well, this is a team, you know, that nobody talks about, really, you know, just because of where they are and their situation. There's so many other teams to talk about, but they're sneaky. They Rick Tocchet has this team working really hard, really structured. Darcy Kuemper's playing some good hockey. They've got some nice pieces. They're, you know, obviously, you said with Kessel there added in the offseason. Soderberg, big net front guy. They almost made the playoffs, and I think last year they had one of the teams, if one of the most man games lost, if not the most, and they still found a way to make it interesting. So it's a team, I think, that when you're going in to play them, a lot of clubs might overlook the Arizona Coyotes just because it's the Arizona Coyotes. But I just think when you have a team that plays as structured and as hard as they do, if you're not ready to play and if you don't bring your best, you're gonna give yourself fits. And the Preds have had trouble with Arizona in recent past, so they've got to be ready to go. They have to find a way to, you know, start the game with as much intensity and fire and compete level as they did against Vegas. You can't let down. You know, we always say this, and you guys say this all the time. This league's too good. The guys on the other side are the best players in the world. You know, maybe there's some not as high profile guys or whatever. You know, you don't have as much splash, media splash, or pizzazz or whatever. But if you don't come ready to play, you're not going to win. You might get lucky a few times, but that's just the reality of this league now. There's just too many good teams.
Yeah, I don't sleep on the Coyotes. I like that makeup right now.
They shocked everybody last year with the season that they put in.
Beat Winnipeg last night.
You said the word fits. Did you see the news that Tom Fitzgerald is coming out of the front office to go serve on the bench as an assistant coach tomorrow night in their game against the Rangers?
I did not see that.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder.
I don't know. I don't know the full story. We'll have to do a little deeper dive and find out what's going on. But, yeah, Devils tweeted that out earlier today, that Tom Fitzgerald would be on the bench as an assistant coach in their game tomorrow night against the Rangers.
Wow, yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye. He's certainly capable. He was, such a big part of our history in Nashville, that's
yep.
for sure.
And Kevin Fiala was a healthy scratch last night for the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, he's one of those guys. He's got so much potential and skill. Sometimes he gets away from, you know, the other parts of the game, the defensive parts of a game. And, you know, in Minnesota, they pride themselves on their defense. And when you don't have a team that can score a bunch of goals, as a player, you can't be a liability out there, even though you have all this talent and, you know, you might, you know, get some chances here and there. If you're giving up too many on the other side, you're not doing the right things, it's tough. So it's, you got to send a message. And Kevin's still a young guy, and I think he's still got a good career ahead of him. But sometimes you have to sit him aside and say, hey, you got to think about things here and come back with a different approach. So I'm assuming that's kind of the situation there as well.
It's like our approach to the show, man. It's a four-hour show. We can't take segments or hours off. We just can't do it, Chris.
You can't do it, and you guys don't.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, have fun out there. We'll talk to you when you get back. Thanks for doing this.
Take care of Willie for us.
Yeah, by the way, are you guys staying in the same hotel? Is Willie going to do his little lap from the team hotel to the University of Phoenix Stadium or State Farm Stadium, whatever it's called now?
Well, I don't know if he's going to do that, but we're looking for a place to play pickleball right now. So we're just trying to coordinate that and get out and get the pickleball. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be an ongoing thing.
Okay.
Played in Vegas, and we're looking here. So keep going.
We'll have to get an update on that. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff, C. Mace. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet every week here on the program. Every Wednesday's at 1 o'clock. Boy, our 1 o'clocks have become really good.
Strong.
Very strong. Chris Mason, Wednesdays, Elliot Friedman on Thursdays, Pick 6 on Fridays. Sounds like a winner to me. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
At the blue line, Ellis gives it off, and the shot and the score! From the top of the left circle, Kyle Turris gets his second of the night, and the Predators extend their lead to 3 goals.
That's what it looked like 4 minutes into the third period. Kyle Turris with a little one-timer blast, as Pete just described. Top of the circle, Bonino was providing a little screen in front, but he did more than screen. Got a little tip.
Yeah.
A little redirect.
So I thought Turris has had his second goal of the night. And then,
I did too.
Yeah. And then Bonino.
It was pretty easy to – I think we all thought that when you see it at first glance, but Bonino with the tip, and it would be the power play goal would be awarded to Bonino, his second goal of the season.
And I thought, I brought it up to Chris Mason for a reason. I thought it was huge for that group to get rewarded for some hard work, because they've had chances, but get rewarded with a power play goal, because we all just drool and focus on that first unit with Duchesne and Johansson and everyone. But the second group, I think, is, you know, you got to have two cohesive power play units, and now they're both producing. And, you know, with Turris and the way that he's been playing, I thought it was huge. So, I mean, now they can go, hey, yeah, we're doing our part too. So I think that that's big for the power play.
Elliot Friedman putting out earlier today that Daniel Carr, who was placed on waivers yesterday by the Predators, that he has cleared waivers. Then Pierre LeBrun followed up with the uncertainty of the Forsberg injury. He will stay with the team and not go down to Milwaukee. Those are from two big national guys. And so we'll see how that all plays out. Of course, still waiting word on what is the status of Philip Forsberg. Hopefully no big deal. Hopefully nothing to see here.
Yeah.
And he'll be back in the lineup hopefully tomorrow night, because he is off to an incredible start. Already 5 goals on the season. He had the 4th goal of the night. So thank you, Phil, for the free Frosty that I'm going to get after the show. Thank you very much.
I think Brim Peterson's already got his.
Oh, he got that back last night. Got that about 10:45 last night,
yeah.
11 o'clock, somewhere around there.
So the Preds don't even hit the ice until, I guess, what, 2:30 our time, I believe, is their practice today. So maybe we'll get more then.
So we brought up the story that the Devils tweeted out earlier today, that Tom Fitzgerald, their assistant general manager, who we obviously know very well, love Tom Fitzgerald, great guy. Love when he comes to town. He's joined me on pregame. He's joined me on postgame.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. And kind of has a link to the history of this franchise in this market.
Yeah, the first captain.
Yeah, and so this is not, Chase, it looks like from what we're, because we said we're going to do a little deeper dive. We've been hitting a lot of things today, so we haven't really been able to look into the Devil's situation. They have not won a game yet this year, so they're on the struggle bus right now, and they're giving up a lot of goals. And this is not a temp thing. As from what we can tell, this is him just joining the staff, that he's going to do both. He's going to be assistant GM, assistant coach.
So Amanda Stein is the reporter for the Devils. She tweets, first tweet, the decision to bring Tom Fitzgerald into the coaching fold was head coach John Hines' suggestion. Then she goes on to tweet, Tom Fitzgerald has no worries about balancing his assistant GM and GM duties with Binghamton through this stint on the coaching staff. Says he'll drive tonight to watch Binghamton play, return back after the game, and be ready for tomorrow versus the Rangers. So it appears that this is more than a one-game thing. I don't think it's indefinite, but he's going to do both jobs right now. That's unreal. And that I was watching some of John Hines' press conference, and he said that, you know, the idea is you're getting a fresh set of eyes to come in and look at things, and he can be on the ice, you know, during practice and during skates and then on the bench, you know, during the games, to just kind of give his thoughts on what he sees so far through the struggles with the Devils.
They're,
I mean, he's been a coach before. So.
They're 0-4-2. And right, like I said, they're giving up a lot of goals.
Won a Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins as an assistant coach. So he definitely has the experience.
Tell you what, I said this on Morning Drive on Monday at 9 o'clock. It's a lot easier to coach and fix defensive zone issues, things in the defensive end, things in front of your goalie,
mm-hmm,
than it is to coach up goals.
Right.
If you're a team that has trouble scoring. And I get it. The game will change in the playoffs. We all know that. We know it's a different game when you get to that level. Tampa scored at will last year in the regular season for 82 games, and they got swept. So you have to shore up things defensively. But I'll tell you what, through 6 games, if you honestly can tell us or anybody that you haven't had fun watching this team is not going to
– yeah,
they won't have your attention this year. Because if you haven't enjoyed these 6 games, even the 2 losses, you know, you don't want to talk about losses, but losses are going to happen. The games – have been fun games.
Oh, they've been awesome. And I'll make this Nashville sports comparison with the Titans and the Preds. The Titans' problem has been on offense. Can't get anything going, but they have a pretty good defense, right? Okay. But you still got to score points. The Predators need to, you know, work on some things defensively, but they've been able to score enough that it's been okay. That gives them time to fix what they have defensively. That's the biggest difference in the two. So anyone that's worried about defense in the playoffs, okay, you got to work on that, but you got a long time before you get there. And they are covering it up right now because they're able to score, and that's huge, and that's why they're fun to watch.
Yep. They are scoring goals 28 to start off the season, which is tied with Toronto, most in the league.
Toronto.
And they have that guy, Austin Matthews, who already has 7 goals.
He's good.
And Tavares.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, they got some guys like Mitch Marner can score. By the way, those guys all scoring last night in their win. So, yeah, just thought we'd pass that along. Looking into that a little bit more, it looks like Fitzgerald, this is something he's going to do for a while. So, interesting there when it comes to that news. All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this matchup on Sunday that we've been talking about, the decision to go with Ryan Tannehill. Our thoughts on that, we'll weigh on that again. But right now I want to talk to all the men out there. You've heard me for years talking about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know over there that a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center with that quest. He's the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, who doesn't want that? I know I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and the surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make that appointment, dial this number like I have, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, CoolSpringsMD.com. The Thursday night game is the Chiefs at the Broncos. I told you everybody deals with injuries. By the way, the Rams put another defensive player on IR.
I saw that.
As they traded for Jalen Ramsey. The Chiefs have ruled out these players for tomorrow night's game against the Broncos. Sammy Watkins.
Oop.
Cornerback Kendall Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
Their left tackle, Eric Fisher. Their defensive tackle, Chris Jones. And offensive lineman, Andrew Wiley. All of them will not play. You think that's a big deal?
That's a big deal. They're hurting.
And, oh, no, by the way, their quarterback right is hobbled with an ankle injury.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've lost two in a row to the AFC South.
Two in a row at home to the AFC South.
And now Thursday night against Denver, and Denver has won two in a row. Denver's feeling a little better about themselves. It's at Mile High. That's interesting.
Isn't it amazing the start of Dallas and Kansas City and then what the last 2 and 3 weeks have looked like for those two organizations?
It just shows you about, and how many times have we brought this up on the show, of just how weird the NFL is right now, and that you can't, I mean, I think we can agree at this point at 5-0, San Francisco, yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Seattle, I'd say they're pretty good too. New England, pretty good. But everyone else? I mean, Houston's 4-2. I'm not. They're okay. Minnesota 4-2. Okay. But it's really hard to. New Orleans 5-1. Okay, pretty good. But it's just hard to go. Yeah, they're the best team in the league, and they're going to win it all. Right now, if you force me to pick somebody, I'd probably just go New England by default. But
I was actually looking at the Jimmy Shapiro odds, which just came out.
I didn't look. I saw it pop up.
It was about an hour and a half ago, and it was looking at the current odds to win the Super Bowl. So from 8 days ago, so before last week's games, to now going into this week's games. And so, you know, and a lot of times in that window, not much changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, I'll give you a team, and you tell me, did their odds stay the same, get better or worse to win the Super Bowl?
Okay.
Patriots.
Stayed the same.
Got better, actually.
Did it really?
Saints.
Tick better.
Yep. Got better. Chiefs.
Dropped.
Yep. Got worse. 49ers.
Got better.
Significantly better. 16-1 to 10-1.
Believe it.
Green Bay.
Green Bay probably a little bit better.
Stayed the same.
Stayed the same? Okay.
Ravens.
Ravens stayed the same.
Got better.
Okay.
Eagles.
Better.
Got worse.
Worse.
Seahawks.
Better.
Yep. Panthers.
Better.
Better. Texans.
Better.
Better. Bears. Bears.
Dropped.
Same. Cowboys.
Dropped.
Worse. Rams.
Dropped.
Worse. 20 to 25. Both of them went from 20-1 to 25-1. Vikings the same. Bills.
Better?
Better. Colts.
Better?
Worse.
Really?
Yeah.
After beating Kansas City.
This last week, they did not look good in their bye.
I know. Like, how are you
33-1 to 40-1. How does that happen in a bye week? Or is it more about the Texans?
Maybe the other teams.
Yeah. I thought that one was interesting. How about this one? Steelers. This one doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, then I'm going to say better because that doesn't make sense.
100-1 to 40-1.
What?
After beating the Chargers?
With the third string quarterback?
With Hodges and beating the Chargers, you went from 100-1?
Or the fourth string or whatever the heck he is?
40-1? What?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Browns.
Worse.
Lions. Interesting right here. This is interesting.
I'm going to lean a little better.
33-1 to 50-1.
So worse.
Way worse. Huh. Way worse. Chargers.
Worse.
Worse. 40-1 to 50-1. Raiders stayed the same. Jags.
Worse.
Worse. 50-1, 66-1 after losing Jalen Ramsey.
Haven't heard a team yet on this in this little exercise.
I'm just going down the list, Chase. Here's another one. Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, they should probably be about the same or worse.
250-1 to 100-1.
Okay.
Really?
Okay. I don't know why.
You beat the Falcons and you go from 250-1 to 100-1?
They are giving a lot of value to wins.
Man. Broncos.
Better.
250-1 to 100-1. How about that? Falcons.
Worse.
Worse. Bad.
Off the board.
No, it just went 100-1 to 150-1.
Yeah.
Giants.
Maybe worse.
Oh, a lot worse.
Yeah.
80-1 to 150-1.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Worse.
Way worse. Way worse.
Still not there.
Still not there. Titans.
Worse.
You think worse?
I think worse. Has to be.
What do you think they were? This time last week, going into last week's games, to win the Super Bowl,
275-1.
No, they were just 80-1.
80-1.
Yeah. What do you think they are today? Shutout loss to the Broncos.
150-1.
150-1.
Yep.
Went from 80-1 to 150-1.
And I'm curious to see if that number
changes.
Is that included?
I told
the
you this was like an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
So right.
Yeah. Okay.
I would think.
Yeah, so. Yeah, well, I do know that last night, the latest line that I have seen from ESPN, Titans are favored by 2 at home against the Chargers.
Eric Williams, who we had on, who covers the Chargers, said he thinks the Titans are going to win.
Interesting. I know that the line came off the board last night when the news started getting out, and I guess it went back on once they made it official. But Titans by 2 is interesting. You know, I appreciate the optimism of Eric Williams, but being around it like we have, I don't know. Maybe. You never know.
Odds to win the AFC, Titans went from 40 to 1 to 80 to 1.
Makes sense.
So they basically doubled for all the wrong reasons.
Right. Well, when you lose 16 to nothing to the Broncos, and I'll say this, I don't think the Broncos are very good, but I think they could be a little bit better.
Oh, I don't think the Broncos are that good. You think they're a playoff team?
No. I'm not saying they're a playoff team. I'm just saying maybe they're a little bit better than we all thought.
So odds to win the AFC South, what they are currently.
Okay.
Like I said, according to an hour and a half ago. Favorite is the Texans. They went from 3-2 to 10-11.
Okay. And then Indy?
Went from 3-2 to 8-5.
And Jacksonville?
Went from 9-2 to 8-1.
And Titans?
7-1 to 10-1.
Still, I mean, yeah. I mean, that makes sense, but.
But so they're last in every.
Sure.
Every category there is.
Why wouldn't they be?
Well, it's just amazing going back to the conversation with Tim Hasselbeck. If we would have told our audience, this is what's going to happen. Like, we're telling you, this is going to happen. Andrew Luck is going to retire before the season begins. You understand that?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck is going to retire. Jadeveon Clowney, the number one pick overall by the Texans, the number one pick in the draft. He's going to get traded out of the division, out of the conference.
Right.
He's going to Seattle. Jalen Ramsey, Ashvillian, arguably the best corner in the game. He's gone.
He's going to L.A.
Out of the division, out of the conference, going to L.A.
Yep.
What do you think?
And you left one out. Nick Foles. He's going to get hurt.
Basically done for the year. Well, get hurt for a long period of time.
Yep.
After week one. Told you all that's going to happen. What do you think we would have been talking about the rest of the show that day?
Like, oh, it's wide open.
Wide open. It's like, well, the Titans better win the division.
Right.
This is going to be good.
But it hasn't gone that way.
The frisky meter would go way up for Titans fans, and it should.
Yeah. And here's the crazy part.
And here we're sitting here talking about a quarterback change, which is equivalent to a healthy scratch.
Yep.
And a team that's 2-4.
And the crazy part is.
And a coach that looks like he's in over his head, doesn't know how to get the water out of the boat.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't think there's very many people feel like this is going to get turned around. Can they? Sure.
No.
There's 10 games to go.
But they're still in it.
But people don't feel like it's going to happen.
They're still. That's the crazy part. They're still alive. They're still alive when it comes to divisions and playoffs and all that. I mean, they are still alive. Now, how long is that going to last? Got to take care of business. You know, 3-4 is going to feel a heck of a lot better if they can get that done with Tannehill. So
they've also got odds on the next head coach to get fired.
Oh. Let's dive in.
Quickly. Dan Quinn is 3-2. He's the favorite. Now, what's interesting is who's second. That's what really jumped out at me. Actually, there's two coaches tied for second. Actually, you know what? We're going to do this to come back on the other side. You're going to want to hear this. Going to want to hear this. Folks, in this business, that's called a tease. We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.